passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Well, repeating what is likely to be the story of the day in the SEC, the reports indicate Bobby Petrino returning to Arkansas as the offensive coordinator. He was fired there about 12 years ago in disgrace as the head coach. He was very successful. In fact, he was one of the most successful coaches in the SEC, but he's returning to a very shaky Sam Pittman tenure. Remember, Pittman clearly had his job on the line. Hunter Yurecek made the decision about a week ago to retain him. And then Arkansas went out and just rolled over against Missouri. And now Petrino's coming in to salvage the offense. You can interpret anything you want. I don't know what will be said. I know that the right things will be said, but what exactly is going on there is open for interpretation. Zach is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Zach.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, so I'm from New Orleans, but I'm actually living in Arkansas right now. I'm a big LSU fan, and I think Hog fans are delusional. But besides that, I think every Hog fan that I've met, they kind of cherish the morality of their program. Everybody that I've talked to at work and stuff here, you know, they were like really upset with Bobby Petrino when the whole thing happened, and I know Dion was in talks of, or actually I think he was interviewed.
He was
correct. Yeah, so. I've seen a lot of comments on YouTube videos and stuff about the Hogs and stuff, and people are, whenever the Dion thing comes up, you know, everybody is like, oh, he wouldn't fit our culture, and he's too flashy, and he's too this, and he's not Arkansas and all that stuff. And I just think it's kind of hypocritical, because all I'm seeing now with this news of Bobby Petrino is everybody's excited to bring him on back and get back into it, and I just don't think that's right.
Well, college football is really not about what's right any longer. It's about what's necessary. And the story about Bobby Petrino is that he was a superb coach at Arkansas, but a lot's happened since then, and it can't be discounted. But at Arkansas, his last 3 years, he was he had an interim year after John L. Smith literally or did Smith come after Petrino? I can't remember. Who did he replace? Houston Nutt, excuse me. Petrino just had an amazing run at Louisville first time around. He was 9-4, 11-1, 9-3, and 12-1. Finished fifth in the country and won the Orange Bowl. He goes to Arkansas, had a transitional year, taking over for Houston Nutt. And then he goes 8-5, 10-3, and 11-2. His final year there in 2010, he was in the Sugar Bowl. I think it was Virginia Tech. They should have won the game. They had the game stolen from them. And then the next year, they go and win the Cotton Bowl, and they finish fifth in the country. And then on April 1st, 2012, he gets involved in this motorcycle accident with his administrative assistant, and he was fired.
Wasn't it Ohio State in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah, I think you're right. But, I mean, whatever. All I remember about that game, yeah, it was Ohio State. They had the game stolen from them. That's all I remember.
Yeah, that's what I hear, too.
You're right about that. So he rehabilitates his career. He spends a year at Western Kentucky. Then he goes to Louisville, and not quite as good as it was the first time, but he has Lamar Jackson there. He gets fired at Louisville in 2018 after going 2-8 and 0-7 in the league. And then he rehabilitates himself at Missouri State. And then he goes with Jimbo. So, I mean, he's an incredibly competent football coach. And you now have the awkward situation where Sam Pittman, who is wounded, who is beloved, but if you asked an Arkansas fan today, after the last 2 years, would you take Would you rather have Bobby Petrino as your head coach or Sam Pittman? I would be interested in the answer. And it just makes I was joking there with Zim, but it makes a very uncomfortable alliance. Is this something that Sam Pittman came up with on his own? Was it suggested to him? Was it forced on him? Don't have the answers to any of those questions. Let's move along and check out Jackson up next. Hey, Jackson, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, you got me?
Yes, sir.
All right, I wanted to ask you a question about FSU's kind of situation right now, and I think that with their second-string quarterback, I don't know if there's a good enough argument to leave them out of the playoffs due to what happened in 2014 with Cardell Jones as the backup for Ohio State. We saw what happened there with how he kind of boat raced all over Alabama, but he did also have more talent on that Ohio State team to work with and work around. I just wondered if you think that situation has any impact on whether Florida State can make the playoff with a backup quarterback, being that.
Well, I think we're going. I think of all the things that come out tonight, it's what the Boo Corrigan says in relation to FSU. I don't care about Ohio State. They're not making the playoffs. But what does he say about? I'm sure it'll be something very standard. We give them credit for winning at a very difficult place like the Swamp. That's what he's probably going to say. Peggy is in Gatlinburg. Hello, Peggy.
Hey there, Paul. How are you?
We are doing great.
It's cold up here in the mountains. Woo! Hey, that Iron Bowl was something else, wasn't it? Woo, Lord have mercy. That was a good one. That was a good one. And I feel for those Auburn fans. That's what you call a pierce in the heart. Pierce in the heart. And I was wanting to ask you, does that portal pertain to the coaches, or is that just
players?
No,
the portal, Peggy, is for players who want to move to another school. The window is opening this weekend, and that's what happens. Luke is up next in Arkansas. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Paul. How's it going, man?
We're doing great.
Hey, I've just got an answer for your question. We would much rather have Bob Petrino here in Arkansas than Sam Pittman. I love Sam. He's a great guy, but he ain't cutting it.
Yeah, I think I know people will have different opinions. That's why I asked the question. But, one guy seems to be slipping and sliding, and the other guy represents one of the best, really the last great era in Arkansas football. And even though he has stumbled around since then, he made a human mistake. Other coaches have returned quite effectively, from mistakes like that. The difference was that it was a school issue, but he paid the price. And I think he's not the crime was not nearly as bad as some of the other people who have been run out of college football.
I agree with that. But
I think college football, Luke, is about buzz and momentum. And I think Hunter Yurecek realized he wanted to get ahead of that final game because had he come, let me ask you this, as an Arkansas fan, had Yurecek announced on Saturday that Pittman was coming back, would you have felt differently than you would have a week ago when he announced it before the game against Missouri? Would it have even mattered?
Yeah, I probably would have. I mean, I love Sam. I love Sam to death. But
No. Luke, I've said it before. He's probably my favorite coach in the SEC. I mean, personally, he's a wonderful guy. Jamie, his wife, I know her. That's not the issue here. We're talking about whether he can win or not.
That's the main issue we have with him. We just want wins. We are a proud program, and we should be going to a bowl every year. And the fact we're not, it's not very cool.
No, it's terrible. That's what college football is about, is moving ahead, not getting stuck in the mud. Neutral, as Ross Bjork said. Zach is up next in Arkansas.
Paul, how's it going?
Very well.
I just want to touch on the other Zach that's in Arkansas, but from Louisiana. Yes, we are delusional. this could be a horrible hire, but if it goes bad, hey, it was great. We had Bobby back. If it goes great, Sam's the guy again, and Bobby's back, and the curse is lifted.
Well, it's certainly a better hire than Dan Enos. I think we all can agree on that.
We can.
But knowing Sam Pittman, I mean, he's not a guy with an ego like a lot of coaches, so he can handle Bob Petrino, and Bob Petrino did a pretty good job with what he could do under Jimbo Fisher. The program offensively got better. I think the program at Arkansas will get significantly better. I just think it's just the same battle. Once again, Bob Petrino will start next season with a coach who's on the hot seat. We'll take a short break. Back after that.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
When this used to happen to Saban, Kirby was one of the guys who left before a national championship run, although he stayed until it was over. Fran Brown officially named as Syracuse's new head coach. Just happened moments ago. The DB coach at UGA, of course, he will stick around and get some advice from Kirby Smart about how to handle two jobs at one time. We move along, and Kay is up next in Florida. Hello, Kay.
Hello, Paul. Last time I called a couple of times, and I was living in Northwest Arkansas, then Bentonville.
Right.
And I just moved back home to Pensacola. This is where I was born and raised. But anyway, about the wreck, the motorcycle wreck everybody talked about, do you remember Bobby Petrino, how he looked and that headrest and the scars all over him?
It's the most famous picture Bobby's ever taken.
Okay, exactly. All right. Well, the girlfriend did not have a scratch on her.
Right.
Okay. So what happened is the boyfriend is the one that ran Bobby off the road.
Now, you're not going to go Dealey Plaza on me here, a second shooter, are you?
No. But she flagged off down.
So you're saying, Kay, that for those who don't know what we're talking about, in 2012, Petrino was fired because of an improper relationship with a subordinate.
Correct.
And he had a wreck while he was with her.
I'm not saying that's okay, because that's not okay.
So you're saying that the young lady's boyfriend ran the two of them off the road, is that right?
No. She was in the car with the boyfriend. Only Bobby Petrino was in the wreck. She didn't have a scratch on her.
Okay.
And then finally, she was flagging. It's long and winding roads, good roads to ride a motorcycle.
Great song, by the way.
And Pig Trail and all that stuff. But anyway, and then finally, she waved down a state trooper, this big, tall, black guy that everybody knows and was really cool.
Okay.
And he helped Bobby get up. And I mean, everybody tried to keep
him quiet.
So
at this moment in time, Kay, where did the boyfriend go?
They both went. They're still together, and they moved to South Carolina.
Okay. So Bobby's out just riding by himself. Is that correct?
Yes.
And the boyfriend with the girl in the car runs him off the road?
Yes.
Okay.
Think about it. Look
okay,
how
so
let,
let's say
was.
All of that is true, and
it
you
is
believe
true.
It.
Anyway, go ahead.
Was Bobby Petrino having an improper relationship with one of his subordinates? Okay.
Yes. So I'm not saying that.
What difference does it make how the accident happened?
I don't know. Just thought I'd tell you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to support Bobby, but I definitely support Sam Pittman. I hope their personalities can get along. And
well, let me ask you how you would feel if you're Sam Pittman. Do you think Sam Pittman just decided independently that I'm going to hire Bobby?
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money that, as you know, can tell people to do. Just like they told Houston Nutt to hire Gus Malzahn.
Exactly.
And that was
a disaster with Mitch Mustang.
Yes. And he threw one interception, and Houston Nutt benched him. He never threw another ball for Arkansas.
Because
he wasn't getting all the fame. Gus was getting all the fame.
Oh, sure.
And Nutt wasn't.
That's my concern for Pittman, is that he's on an island right now, and it feels like he, in order to keep his job, maybe he made a deal with the devil. I don't really know, but we'll find out.
I don't know either. We'll never know. Maybe we'll be rumors.
We'll probably know.
We'll never know the truth.
We will continue to pursue it, though. Hey, thank you very much. Jerry is in Arkansas. A lot of Arkansas people coming out today.
Hey there. So she's saying that Pacino was on his hog, right?
Right, right.
So he was riding dirty.
I hear you.
He was riding dirty.
You want to say that a couple more times and then copyright the song? Cat Daddy is up next, who's not riding dirty right now.
Greetings and salutations. We head into the Christmas season, Big Paul. First of all, my wife, Velveeta, got all over me about that Christmas tree light joke I said about the blue lights and the red lights on your show yesterday. She said, I cannot believe you told that joke. It ain't funny. You call and apologize to Mr. Paul. So, Mr. Paul, I'm apologizing for that joke.
Cat Daddy, I do not accept any apologies because this is a show where you do not need to apologize.
Well, as John Wayne once said, weakness, apologizing is a sign of weakness.
So you tell Velveeta, good try, but apology rejected.
I shall do so, sir. She's having her hair done tonight, but I'll tell her she gets home.
Who gets their hair done on a Tuesday night?
Velveeta. Look at him. We were looking over at the Gamecocks today, and they were talking about how to get things back. Because, I mean, after beating Clemson and Tennessee, we were so excited. I know how these Arkansas fans feel. I've been feeling this way for years.
Cat Daddy, I mean, so what that Shane Beamer will be home for Christmas?
Look, we got one third-star running back left. We got a receiver. We just lost one with eligibility. And we're going to depend on the portal more than Dabo Sweeney will ever know in his lifetime. But we're just a lot of negativity. But could you please explain the difference between Sam Pittman and Shane Beamer?
Well, Shane Beamer had a great season last year.
Yep. But he ain't got Paterno with him.
No.
Well, anyway, do you think the Gamecocks can turn it around? Because right now, it's all talking about, let's go watch the ladies play basketball.
What are those afternoon guys saying on the radio?
Well, they're all talking about the Lady Gamecocks now. I've told the football, it's just kind of just, they ain't saying much, is what I can tell you.
Well, I mean, I like the Lady Gamecocks. But
that's
not really the issue at the moment. They'll have the stage to themselves in January, February, March.
Well, I tell you what, I'm kind of glad we ain't going to a bowl game because in this economy, I couldn't afford to go to the toilet bowl.
Thanks for the call, Cat Daddy. Ray is up next. Good afternoon, Ray.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing great.
Hey, I just had a comment on one of your callers talking about Jalen's throw being a fluke, luck, Hail Mary. But to me, a Hail Mary is when you send your five receivers out into the middle of the end zone.
Right.
And you throw it up and hope somebody tips it and catches it, whatever. This throw was directly to somebody running a route, and it was a hell of a throw. So I don't consider that a lucky Hail Mary. I consider it a great throw on fourth down.
It was a phenomenal throw. There was no Hail Mary about that. I mean, it was a play. No. They don't practice it a lot, but it's a set play. And it has to be executed to perfection.
Right. And the luck came when the punt receiver dropped a punt.
Yeah, that was incredible. But, you know, Isaiah Bond on that play, I mean, he had to do a dance up in the air to make sure he stayed in bounds.
Yeah. When they keep showing that shot of him from the back of the end zone, reminds me a lot of Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
The way he extends himself and comes down.
Well said, Ray. Thank you very, very much for the call. We'll take a short break here. Matt Stinchcomb will join us next hour. We are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Jack is up next in Savannah. Hello, Jack. Hey, Jack.
Mr. Paul, how you doing, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you for checking in.
Paul, I told the screener, I think it's Randy, whatever I want to talk about, but I got to make this statement first. Sam Pittman better have a bulletproof vest on and walk backwards when he's talking to Petrina.
I'm trying to think of a comparison to that yeah. I can say on a family television show, but I can't.
Hey, it's the verse in the Bible. Well, anyway, I ain't going to go that far. But anyway, well, what I really call about is to say that Georgia fans, Daddy is back. So take out your Ouija boards, your little tarot cards, don't be scared of black cats, and don't walk on ladders. Because Alabama had a great season for a team that we know is totally flawed. I don't know how they got to be where they at, but great coaching, and a young man actually wanted to win these games. And Paul, I want to let you know that my wife and I love you on your show, and please let your wife tell her I said okay.
Jack, thank you, and my best to your wife. That's very kind of you. You be well. Alan is up next in Northwest Arkansas. Hello, Alan.
Hey, Mr. Paul, thank you very much for taking my call. How are you today?
You're doing great. Thank you.
Good. Hey, I was calling about the potential hiring there because I don't believe it's been confirmed yet.
Not yet.
Petrino
close.
It has been?
No, it will. It will be. It's imminent, I think.
Yes, sir. Well, in my opinion, there was only two people out there for that position, one being Dan Mullen, in the other being Bobby Petrino. The one thing that Mullen can't do that Petrino possibly can do is take advantage of this thing they call the portal. How many offensive players can he bring to Arkansas possibly through that portal? Not only that, but that when during practice, he also sees the defensive side of their program over there, and he might be able to.
Yeah,
the thing
with Dan Mullen, I don't think Dan Mullen would want to be a coordinator right now. He's been considered for some head coaches, so I think Petrino has an advantage over Mullen. He's been in the SEC the past year. He knows these players better. He's not considered a great recruiter, but if you're a quarterback, you know Bobby Petrino. All you have to do is say Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? And, well, here's the other thing with Sam Pittman being on the hot seat that I think Mullen had a step up on Petrino is a head coach in waiting, so to speak.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation when you have a coach, and I hate to say this about Sam, but he's hanging on by a thread right now.
He's a class act.
But he's
really
in worse shape
is.
Than he was a week ago because the last thing we saw of him was just a complete and total beatdown, and that's tough. And by the way, Missouri's beating down a lot of schools, but sometimes it's the effort. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. We check in next with – where are we? Daryl in Baton Rouge. What's up, Daryl?
Good afternoon, Paul. How are you making out today, man?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Hey, everybody from Catrone's Barbershop sends their regards.
Well, I appreciate that. It's my favorite barbershop in the SEC.
Hey, they got the show on every day for 4 hours.
Well, that means a lot
every
to us.
Day. We won the battle, Paul.
It was a tough one.
I got a couple of them. If Bo Nix lights it up, what you think that knocks Jaden Daniels out?
It's a factor, and you know, if you're holding on to a Heisman ballot like almost everyone, you probably have Jaden Daniels right now at the top, but you're waiting for that game. That's the most important game of the season for the Heisman. It's hard to – Marvin Harrison is done. I mean, Milroe is like a 100-to-1 shot, but a monster game and a moment like he had last Saturday, and, you know, he could probably or possibly make the top three. But I think it's Jaden Daniels or Bo Nix right now.
Yeah. Another question right quick. What do you think is the best bowl game LSU could go to?
They're looking at what was the game? What's the game in is it Tampa or Jacksonville? I can't remember the name of it, but right now I've seen them matched up against Notre Dame in Florida.
Okay.
Which would be pretty interesting. What's the name of that bowl? Bowl games change so often that it's hard to remember their name, but I think it's in either Tampa or Jacksonville.
Yeah, I bet Randy would know.
Randy's over there sipping on bourbon.
Oh, Lord, Randy. Well, Paul, I guess that's it for me. I wish I could remember the name of that bowl game.
Well, I am going to. If you give me a second, don't go anywhere. I'll look it up while we're talking. I got nothing else to do here. Let me see. I saw it a minute ago. This is always fun to do in real time, but I'm going to give it to you. It's right now they have Missouri projected for the Peach Bowl. That's a New Year's Six game. They have let me go to the bottom of this. I saw it like an hour ago, and here it is. It's the ReliaQuest Bowl in Tampa. I think that used to be the Outback Bowl.
Yeah.
They have LSU. Well, the projection is LSU there, either Wisconsin, which would be an easy game for them. Wisconsin was not good, or Notre Dame. That game is on New Year's Day, at noon, right before the playoffs start. That's a good bowl game.
You think it's a pretty good bowl? I mean, it's
here's why it's a good bowl. We have been conditioned as college football fans to look at New Year's Day as the most important day of the year. And what Brian Kelly will be able to say is, hey, we were in a New Year's Day bowl. It's mildly deceiving, but it's still the truth. And that's what I would do. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We will take a short break. Much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back, and Jim is up next in Memphis. Good afternoon, Jim.
Thank you, Paul. You know, I was just curious, what is Tim Cook like off camera?
Jim, we're talking about Tim Cook, who joined us Friday. He's the chairman and CEO of Apple. I think he's one of the most fascinating, interesting, authentic people I've ever met in my life.
You know, had a chance to spend a lot of time with him, and he seemed like a genuine guy. I was just curious, off camera, any interesting stories anything?
You meet a lot of people, and most of them are the usual suspects, which is nothing wrong with, but you know, you're blessed to have that opportunity, but he is so unique in the past. I literally was drawn together with him about 8 years ago at a function. We ended up sitting together with Tim and his nephew, at the time was about 13, and our relationship primarily was built on the nephew, who was fascinated by what we do here, mega Auburn fan, and they came by our show the next day, and the nephew and I began texting each other, talking about Auburn football. And through that, I simply got to know Tim a little bit, and we invited him if he would be the first subject for an SEC documentary series called Homecoming, which we started in 2015 or 2016. So we met and spent 2 days together in Auburn, and have gotten together a number of times since then, primarily through Auburn. And he's just so fascinating. And I, you know, the stories are really endless, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but he is, I'm not saying this because he's a friend and somebody I admire, but I think you could easily make the case, it might be arguable, it might not, that he's the most influential CEO in the entire world when you think about the reach of Apple on a global basis.
Oh, there's no question. And I know that you were sweating bullets after you picked Alabama over Alford. And my goodness, I knew just like, oh, no, what have I done again?
So for those who didn't see us on Saturday, he was on with us Friday. He was essentially the guest picker in the parlance of Saturday morning shows. And he regaled how he had advised me in 2017 and 2019, and we had been together at a similar function. He said, you have to pick Auburn. I said, no way. And Auburn won both those games. And obviously in 21, he came within a whisker of being right. And he said, you got to pick Auburn. And I almost did it, by the way, Jim. I don't know if you saw
did
the
you
clip.
Really?
I stalled.
Yeah, I did. Matter of fact, I was watching you.
So to give you the backstory, I'm always the last person to pick, and you want to pick at about the 18 second mark. What does that mean? That means the show literally we run right into a football game. So it was a little bit confusing because Tim had not really made his pick, although I thought he had. He said, I seriously recommend you picking Auburn. That's it. So I'm stalling toward the end of the show, and in 5 seconds, I've never gone that late. I picked Alabama because
right.
I almost went back to Auburn, and unfortunately, Laura said, well, Tim, who do you like? And as we went off the air, he said, Auburn's going to win the game. And I thought about that as that ball was in the air going to Isaiah Bond, how close he was to being right again.
Oh, what a great story. Hey, Paul, thank you for everything y'all do for us. I really appreciate you and your show.
Thank you very much. I think I told this story the other night, but I'll tell it again. So the very first time we're together with Tim, we had his nephew and I, we had eaten out, I think, on the patio. And it was a night that I'll never forget. So we came back in, and somebody from CBS came over to Tim and said, hey, I got a serious question. And I'm like going, okay. Just think about this for a second. A week and a half ago, Tim was at a private dinner in San Francisco with the president and president of China, President Xi. And so going back a couple of years, we had this dinner party at, I think it was Jay Jacobs' house at Auburn. And a guy from CBS walks over to him, got a serious question, and I'm like thinking, you know, maybe he's got an idea for the new Apple phone or the new Mac or the new iPad, maybe the new earbuds. He said, hey, Tim, my wife's having a serious problem with the battery in her iPhone. Do you have any advice? And it was just one of those moments that you're going like, this is the head of the company. Go into an Apple store and ask somebody in the Geek Squad or whatever they call it. Oh, the Geek Squad's Best Buy. John is up next in Fayetteville. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
So I guess you already talked about Petrino.
Yeah, what do you think?
But my question, I love the hire. You know, I think it's great. I think it's going to revamp it. But I think what the problem is people are, you know, period, obsessed with the hire, but they're, you know, not looking at the grand issue of, you know, we still don't know if we're going to have a head coach after next season. I guess my next question for you would be, how good does Arkansas have to do next year for Pittman to keep his job? And we got some pretty important home games. You know, we got Texas, Tennessee, LSU all at home. We got Stillwater on the road. You know, not an easy schedule. How good do the Hogs have to play?
Pretty well. I mean, I think he's down to his last swing. And, yeah, I mean, I say this not to be hypercritical, just to be honest. A change could have been made this year. It wasn't that much of a reach, but I compliment Juracek for giving him one more chance, and I think he's deserving of that because of how beloved he is. But he doesn't have any room for error, and now that Petrino's there, you wonder. And I don't know. I mean, I mean, it may be that he's coming in there, and the word is, you know, you're not going to be the head coach. I mean, that would probably be the smartest thing to say. But What are people saying in Fayetteville? You're there.
I think people like that Petrino's coming back, but I think a lot of people have expected KJ Jefferson not to be here next year. I think a lot of people think he's going to be playing at Mississippi State if Arch doesn't get the nod there. But a lot of people don't see KJ here next, and I think the question is, who do we have at quarterback?
Yeah, by the way, I don't know what the situation is with Arch and Quinn Ewers, but there is a distinct relationship between Arch Manning and Jeff Lebby, as you probably know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer for you, John, but it is quite a question to try to figure out. Thanks so much for the call. Gary is up next in Wyoming. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, two things. One is the Ohio State. I'm not an Ohio State fan, as you probably know. But where they put them at tonight could speak volumes on who's going to be at the big dance. And I've seen a number of articles that hasn't dropped them that's put them around number five. And if they put them in number five,
well, Gary, you're right about that. I was with Heather Dinich this morning, and she believes they'll be number six. If they are number six, they're not getting in. At number five, they could make a case to get in. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. And to me, I don't care for that at all, but that I'm just throwing that out there. What I really wanted to talk to you about briefly was, will you explain to me who's accountable when you let a person go that you hired and you give them $76 million to leave?
Gary, I can't answer your question in the time allotted, but it's a pretty good question.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.